grace, the undeserved and unending love, and peace, a wholeness, a shalom to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom we hear God's promises. Amen. Our sermon text for today is from our gospel reading, the very promises of God, particularly Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, which reads, Peter was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Will you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There were many amazing things that happened when our Lord was transfigured, changed on a mountain in Galilee. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes were as white as light. Moses and Elijah, the two great prophets of old, appeared with Jesus on the mountain, and then a bright cloud overshadowed them all. Indeed, as we sang, we echo Peter's words, 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. But the most wonderful thing that happened on the mountain, beyond the glorious appearance of Christ shining with Moses and Elijah in utter brightness, were the words from the cloud itself coming down, speaking to Peter, James, and John. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. We hear God's promises. Listen to him. It's not rocket science. It's not algorithms. It's not in some foreign language that we have difficulty deciphering. It's plain as day, clear for us to hear. It's simple words, three concise words, and yet one of the most challenging things for us to do. Listen to him. There are a variety of voices that fill our ears. It's not all that unfamiliar to us. As Genesis 3 reminds us, with the devil saying to Eve, Did God really say that you should not eat from any tree in the garden? You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will become like God, knowing good and evil. In Genesis 11, the lie continues as the people say, Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. And the prophet Amos warned those who had believed the lie that they could eat, drink, and be merry, all the while forgetting about those who are in need around them, saying in Amos chapter 6, Woe to those who lay on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches, who drink bowls of wine and anoint themselves with the finest of oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Or maybe the voices sound like, Mom, I know I should go to church, but I'll go when I'm ready. Or, I would go to church, but it's so boring. They really need some more exciting music. You know, a more vibrant Sunday school, a stronger youth program, a better pastor, or just more people. Or maybe, you know, I would listen to my parents, but they're so old-fashioned. Or I would wait to have sex at least until the right time and the right person, but not until marriage. Or, you know, I could see how it would be helpful to, you know, stay married, but I deserve my freedom. Or, you know, why is it, if God is love, does it sound so much like he hates homosexuals? Or, you know, if the church is really the hope of the world, then why does it seem she is so indifferent to those in need around her? To be sure, there are a variety of voices, and the very words of God are determined not to be drowned out by a dearth of deceptive declarations. But it's nothing new. It was prolific among the prophets. The wayward priest Amaziah preached against God's messenger himself, Amos, in Amos chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, saying, "O seer, go. Prophet, flee away to the land of Judah. Eat bread there and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the sanctuary of the king. It is the temple in his kingdom." The prophet Jeremiah realized this reality as well. In chapter 26, verse 8, as it says, "And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, 'You shall die.'" So it should come as no surprise, no shock, when our Lord, who is greater than Moses, greater than all of the prophets, would find that his word has little welcome among the people. John 6 declares, "When Jesus said these teachings, those who followed him realized its difficulty. They said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?' After that, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." John chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 speaks of that suspect nature of those listening to Christ, saying, "And again, there was a division among the Jews because of Jesus' words. Many of them said, 'He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?' But this would not cease our Lord from speaking his words of comfort for the oppressed, healing for the sick, sight to the blind, food for the hungry, and yes, even opening up the ears of those who are deaf, even those unwilling to listen to him. Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34 calls out, "And when they had come to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing.'" Our Lord, we hear him in Matthew 27, verse 46, as it says, "And at about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" And finally, John 19:30 supplies the last sentence of our Savior before his death, saying, "And when Jesus had received some of the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." We hear God's promises. Yet death could not deter his dictation, for he is arisen, alive, and can never die again. Revelation 1, verses 17 and 18, Christ proclaims, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." We hear God's promises. Our King is coming, and his testimony is true, as Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 and 7 declares. These words are trustworthy and true. "And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show that these things must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. We hear God's promises. These words, His words, are like music to our ears. As Jesus proclaims through the pastor, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you of all your sins. And take, eat the body of Christ broken for you. Take, drink the blood of Christ poured out for the forgiveness of all your sins. We hear God's promises. It's the good word of our Lord. Forgiveness of sins for every person. For those struggling with the abuse of sex or homosexual tendencies. For those who are holding on, husband and wife, to their marriage with all that they've got. For parents persistent in not losing heart with their children. For kids who will not check out on their parents. And for churches and congregations learning anew to listen to the words of our Savior, we hear God's promises. We trust Him. We believe in these promises. As Jesus says them at His ascension in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We hear God's promises. Beloved in the Lord, take heart in our Father's words for us today. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. In fact, our Lord would speak these very words at the font. In your baptism, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased, who I have forgiven all of your sins. In fact, our Lord ascended on high, is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's not just sitting there waiting to come back someday, but He's actually interceding for us, fighting on our behalf, even when it looks like His church may be fading. And He says to the Father, as our prayers ascend to the throne, this is your beloved Son, your beloved daughter. Listen to Him. Listen to her. I am well pleased. And so that transfiguration takes on great new meaning as we hear our Father's promise to us once again today. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.